Hey, everybody. Welcome back into the show. Second half hour of our conversation, history lesson discussion with Pastor Chatfield. You know, it's amazing, American history and how so much it's evolved since the founding. This year, of course, is our 250th birthday, 4th of July this year. And man, looking through the various eras, like you mentioned, you know, going all the way back to the founding of our country and the history, it's just absolutely amazing, America's story.
Right. And let me just add something here. Regular passenger trains stopped earlier than 1979. However, occasionally, and I remember this, that they would take passengers from Mackinac City to Petoskey in the early 1980s. But it kind of stopped in the 1960s, so I've been told. Here's something else that I find interesting. The railroad used to be a huge, obviously, the whole era of the cowboys was dependent on the railroads and what town it went through. Back in the day, in the West, this is where we get the whole phraseology, a ghost town. If you were two cities and in the West, and if the railroad went through one city, it would prosper, and if it didn't, it would not. And sometimes it would become a ghost town because that is the way it is. I mean, because the population, the people, the business would spring up around where you could transport it. I was told, and excuse my numbers, they may not be precise, but both Levering and Pelston at one time were like somewhere around a couple thousand people lived here. Now, maybe I've got my numbers a little messed up, but those were bigger communities. If you walk on the west side of Levering, because I've done it just out of curiosity, there are lots of old buildings that have been long grown up and are long forgotten. There were lots of buildings on the west side of Levering, and it was at one time a lumber town, and the railroad would come through. Eventually, they moved the railroad. They changed that. But in the early 1900s, there was something burned down in 1945, excuse me, 1905 in Levering, and kind of changed things. But there's so much history out here. There is so much history in the Thumb. And as I said, my wife, was a grandfather, his name was George Rose, in case any of your listeners are from the Bliss area. I mean, he used to work on, you know, as a young man out there cutting trees down in northern Michigan. Now, that's long since died, long before I got up here. But there was a lot of, whether in the tip of the Mint or in the eastern UP, there's a lot of history that's kind of been lost here. And as this is not having anything to do with the cowboy area, but I kind of read up about this week. You know, the copper mines in the UP, they were a major industry, helped us win World War II, and the shipping and Roger City, Michigan was a major spot where there was a lot of things, limestone and a lot of things shipped in and out of Roger City. It used to be a much bigger town than it is now. I was told back in the day, in 1900, there were 15,000 people in Emmett County, Michigan. Now, and a lot of them were in the northern part of the county. It was a debate whether or not Pelston or Petoskey would be the county seat. And obviously, it went to Petoskey. And Petoskey's pretty. It's right on Little Traverse Bay. And now you've got Bay Harbor there. And there's obviously no comparison now between Levering/Pelston area and Petoskey. But not so 100 years ago. 100 years ago, you know, the tourist industry was not so big. Petoskey, at the time, you had Bayview there right on the lake, which was a Methodist revivalist campground. But it wasn't really the tourist spot that it is today with Bay Harbor. I don't know if anybody remembers this, when Bay Harbor first started, when was that, in the mid-1980s, when there used to be a cement factory there, and they blew it up, the cement works. I went and saw that. It was kind of an anticlimactic thing and created that harbor at Bay Harbor. Now it's a very, very fancy place, Bay Harbor. But that wasn't around. That wasn't even thought of 50 years ago. 50 years ago, there was still a cement factory there, at least 60 years ago. But somebody had the big idea. Let's create a resort there. And they did. And Bay Harbor is pretty nice.
Yeah.
For those who don't know anything about it. And there's all sorts of history about this. But go back to our era of the cowboy. What happened was Hollywood kept that whole notion going. And I know there was probably no doubt a lot of misconceptions about how romantic the cowboy was and cowboys fighting Indians. Truth of the matter is, it was not so much cowboys fighting Indians. It was the American cavalry fighting Indians. And eventually, they overcame the Indians. And the policy became, we had something called the Dawes Act, passed after the Civil War, that said, look, Indians, we'll give you land. Just forsake the nomadic way of living and live and have your own property. And we're going to give you land. Something similar to the Homestead Act, and a lot of Indians took advantage of it. A lot of Indians didn't. And a lot of Indians were forced to go to reservations. And a lot of people say, well, that was terrible. Well, as I tried to explain to our, I'll probably get myself in trouble here. As I tried to explain to the class this year, this past week, we're talking about how the West was won and so on and so forth. Yes, there were some things that the Americans, the Europeans, whether we're talking about in the from 1866 to about 1895, when eventually the Indians were subdued, that we probably shouldn't have done. Well, we stole their land. Oh, it's not that easy. There was this whole notion of manifest destiny, that this land was given to us and we want to expand freedom. The Indians were living in a nomadic way. They were nomads and they traveled around. They had their own way of life. But we wanted government and we wanted freedom, and we tried to coax them into that. And sometimes we did things that were not right. That's true. But you know what? It was the force of history that was coming. And eventually, the Indians' way of life ended. And that is a long discussion. No doubt there's some Native Americans listening to this say, well, that was not right. Well, I'll grant you, a lot of it wasn't right. But no. It is the way it is. I don't know what else to say.
Right.
And
you've said this numerous times that there is obviously various stages of our history that, number one, we're not proud of, but it happened. And we weren't alive then. It was something that just evolved, and it was part of the history. You can't deny it or try to, you know, rationalize it or justify it. It's just like you said, it is what it is.
Yeah, and I don't know what else to say. And I don't, even if I lived in the day, what was I supposed to say? When you had your American settlement and you had Indians who, let me back up. This is opening up a big, deep philosophical discussion. Well, who was there first? Well, what do you mean, who was there first? Well, the Native Americans were there first. Well, am I a Native American? Yes, I am. I was born in the United States. I'm a Native American. Who gets to define what Native American is? And the Native American tribes all fought each other. This is not like they were some united kingdom here and the evil Europeans came in and took it from them. They were all fighting each other. That in of itself is another truth of history. It's just the way it is.
Right.
Too late, the Indians discovered they need to unite and fight if they want to keep their nomadic and their way of living. And an Indian chieftain, Geronimo, learned that. Says, we got to get together and fight. But by that time, the United States was too big, too organized, too many weapons, and they couldn't fight the United States cavalry. There's too big, too much. They just couldn't fight, and they lost. And eventually, most of the Indians said, look, we lost. Our ancestors had this land, but they don't have it anymore. It is what it is. We're going to live as Americans now. That's what most Indians do. And you don't have to, you still be proud of your heritage, but that is simply the way it is. Listen, everybody, the history of the world, of the entire world, not just our country, is the history of essentially one people, one country taking property, land from another company. That is the way it is. I'm just telling you the facts. You can't hold me responsible for all that. It is the way it is, and that's all I want to say.
Right. Well, let me ask you this question. innovation and coming up with, like you say, the land being offered to people to go west and the wild, basically, cattle that was, you know, taken and domesticated, the railroad, the timing of it all. I mean, it just sometimes people see an opportunity and they just they seize it. They jump on it. They get involved in it, and it becomes actually an industry. It becomes an actual part of our history. But man, can you imagine if they didn't give that land to expand folks out west? If the cowboys never existed, all the guys that were in the cavalry from the Civil War chose to go in a different direction, that would really have changed Hollywood. That would have changed a lot of things in our country.
That's it. And, you know, it's hard to go back and to try to define exactly who did what and was this right or wrong. You know, don't kill the messenger type of thing is what I'm saying.
Sure.
Let me give you another example of something I think has kind of happened. In the late 1850s, early 1860s, you had something called the Pony Express. And it, you know the story of the Pony Express, where you'd have all stations all throughout the West, and you'd have these young men who would ride these horses from point to point to point carrying the mail. It was great. That was cool.
Yeah.
But when the Transcontinental Telegraph came, it put the Pony Express out of business, just the way it is. When the when the automobile, Henry Ford in Detroit, he learned how to mass produce it efficiently and make it less expensive. It kind of really did a lot of damage to the coach industry and the horse industry. This is innovation. This is what happens. I mean, we look at the computers and now artificial intelligence and the robots. What is that going to do? That's going to change things. Forward thinkers look at this and say, now, how can I make money of this? How can I use AI? How can I use whatever? It is the nature of progress. It's history. It is what it is. I don't know what else to tell you.
Yeah, absolutely. Final segment of our conversation today with Pastor Chatfield. Short break. Word from our sponsors. We'll be right back.
Hi, my name is Monica Yatuma. I've spent my career in the private sector, fixing broken systems and delivering real results. When there was waste, I cut it. When there was failure, I demanded accountability. And when problems got tough, I didn't back down. Now I'm running for Secretary of State to bring integrity, efficiency, and common sense back to Michigan government and to protect the trust in our elections that voters deserve. I'm experienced and I know how to get things done. My promise to you is conservative leadership that you can trust. This message has been paid for by Monica Yatuma for Michigan.
I'm Justin Michael. I come from more than a century of Republican heritage, a family that has served this country, this state, and our communities with integrity and conviction. My great-grandfather, Edward C. Morrison, served Michigan in the State House as a proud Republican, and that legacy lives in me today. I'm a strong Republican, a combat veteran, and a constitutional conservative, and I believe in limited government, fiscal responsibility, and secure borders. Our district deserves a representative who won't bend, won't break, and won't play political games. Paid for by Justin Michael for Congress.
For all you folks out there that own firearms, are looking to buy a new or used gun, or fix up that old piece at a good price, there's Curtis Gunsmithing. Not too far off the beaten path at 9996 Picker Lake Road in Petoskey, Mr. Tom Curtis is an AGI-certified gunsmith and firearm connoisseur. Don't send your gun out or travel far away for your specialized gun work. You have a friend in your own backyard. Call Curtis Gunsmithing today, 231-347-3487.
If you have pain in your back, neck, shoulders, hip, knees, wrists, or feet, Dr. Gary Willey's Chiropractic Services in Sheboygan has a robotic laser treatment for you. This technology takes away pain, inflammation, and promotes healing. Experience robotic laser pain relief at a special new customer price. Call us for fast relief Monday through Wednesday to learn more and to schedule an appointment at 231-627-4300. Again, 231-627-4300.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, CEO of MyPillow. I support this show, and I would like to offer you our biggest discounts for listening. So please go to our website, MyPillow.com, and put in the promo code at the end of this message to get the biggest discounts. Again, thanks for listening, and God bless.
Thanks, Mike. Folks, go to MyPillow.com and enter the promo code TRUCKERRANDY or call 800-654-9659.
Gun owners in northern Michigan don't have to go far to get their firearm problem solved. Curtis Gunsmithing handles all gun work, adjustments, bluing, rebarreling, cleaning, and even FFL transfers. Need a stock refinished or some custom work done? How about a trigger job? That's right. Let the gun doctor, Tom Curtis of Curtis Gunsmithing, take care of old Betsy. She'll be in good hands. Call 231-347-3487. That's 347-3487. Curtis Gunsmithing of Petoskey.
Hey, everybody, welcome back into the show. Final segment of our discussion. Since we had you on the show last Friday, major events happening down there in Venezuela. I'd just like to get your short opinion about the mission to go in and get Maduro and to bring him to justice there in New York City. What was your reaction to hearing that news Saturday and what's been happening this week?
Number one, I do understand the constitutional issues that some of your listeners, our listeners, say, well, this only Congress can declare war. I understand that. I understand that. And if and there's people I know in my church that didn't like it because they're, hey, you know, we need to, if we're ever going to go to war, it's got to be a congressional act. People like Rand Paul didn't vote with the president. I understand their concerns. However,
it wasn't an act of war.
Yes. It was a police action. Yep. Now, they did use the military to help. It was a police action. Two, the president is the commander in chief. And this is America first. It is America first. And I said this a couple of weeks ago, and I heard somebody else say it, and I said, hey, you should have attributed that line to me. To be America first is not the same thing as being an isolationist. We are, what we were between World War I and World War II were isolationists, the America first movement.
Yeah.
President Trump is an America first guy, but he's not an isolationist, obviously.
No.
He did this to benefit American interests. Now, if I'm in the room with the discussion between Marco Rubio and J.D. Vance and so on, and or if people that think like Tucker Carlson are in the room, or Rand Paul, they're saying, no, no, no. And I can understand their argument. But I wish everybody would listen to this. President Trump's the president. He's got to make the hard call. He made the hard call. He's the president. He's the head of our executive branch. He's the head of the Republican Party. He's our president.
Yeah.
I stick with leadership.
Well, Tucker Carlson did a rant by himself. It was an hour and 42 minutes. I could only make it through about the first 20. And basically, you know, he says, well, America is full blown in the open, in your face. We are now an imperialist country.
Nonsense.
Listen to this. I love it. He said that basically taking over Venezuela, you know, and I'm like, okay. And he said, so now we're going to have problems with Putin going in and taking land back from Ukraine. The guy is so mentally screwed up. I don't even know where to begin with him.
Look, he doesn't have a filter. What I mean by that is you got to step back and look at this. First of all, what President Trump did, I can understand the concerns. But when the leadership makes the call, he made the call, you get behind the leader, the president. He's confusing. President Trump is not a neoconservative. He's an America First guy.
And we are not occupying Venezuela. Well, there is no soldiers on the ground. There
might
some advisors, but not soldiers.
There might be in the future. I hope not.
Oh, yeah.
But it may be necessary. Stick with the leadership. See, almost some of our libertarian-leaning friends, they're almost, they don't understand party politics. They don't understand the our form of government, which is based upon, we got to stay together here. We got to stand behind the president, and he's the chief executive. Man, I would have voted with the president. Now, I might have echoed some if I was sitting in the cabinet meeting when the decision were made. I said, let's think this thing through. I might have said that, but once the president makes the call, get behind the president.
Yeah.
Get behind the president. That's my two cents.
Well, it's very blatantly obvious. Donald Trump is looking at protecting the Western Hemisphere and, South America, Latin America, now, getting more serious about Greenland and saying, you know what, China, Russia, you guys can have the Eastern Hemisphere. I'm taking control of the Western Hemisphere, and I'm looking out for the best interests of America. And if you don't like it, too bad, so sad, but that's just the way it's going to be.
I wonder what Tucker Carlson would have thought of the Monroe Doctrine. What do you think of that? who were we to say to Europe, hands off Western Hemisphere? Was that the beginning of imperialism? Were you against that, too? Why don't you just go out and live in the woods like a hermit and just hope everything works out and ignore the rest of the world? You can't live like that.
That's actually the way he is living. Have you seen his studio out there, that wooded property he owns? He's more or less doing exactly that, but because of the internet,
he's followed his thinking down to its logical end, but you gotta pull that back. You gotta pull it back. Support the president. That is, support the president.
Well, and it's going to change the relationship, and with the taking of the oil and putting it into the market and getting the money back in the hands of the people in Venezuela, they're actually going to join our economy and be buying things from us.
And keep praying for our country and the president. I mean, these are hard calls, a hard decision, but we support the president. I do.
Yep. Very good, sir. We'll see you on the radio on Sunday.
Amen.
Final hour of today's show. We'll be right back.
Thank you for listening to your Defending Fathers with Trucker Randy Bishop.
The Sioux Animal Hospital in Sault Ste. Marie has been in the same location for 35 years. The owner, Dr. Jeff, specializes in providing all aspects of care for your animals. From annual shots to complicated bone and soft tissue surgeries, Dr. Jeff can take care of any animal. So call him today at 906-635-5910. From dogs and cats to cows and horses, Dr. Jeff loves them all. So give him a call at 906-635-5910.
Hi, this is Ian Murphy from the Iron Pig Smokehouse in downtown Gaylord. Join me every...